See, when you pray and when you fast, go to your Father in the secret place. That's where real communion with God happens. Yes, you can pray when you're with others and you can talk with God while doing your everyday chores and tasks and job, but there's something about being physically and literally away from people, away from stuff, away from noise, away from activity and work, and being still and quiet and alone with the Father. Jesus needed this in his life, so why wouldn't we? Hey everyone, welcome to the Living with Synergy podcast. I'm your host and Bible teacher, Colby Cullum. We're currently in a series called Follow Me, and last week we highlighted not only the value, but in my judgment, the necessity of fasting for a prolonged period of time if one desires to grow closer to God. We talked about how the practicality of abstaining from food actually depletes the body's sinful nature, making the inner man more in tune with God. Jesus purposefully did two things before he initiated his ministry and earthly mission. One, he was baptized in and empowered with the Holy Spirit. And two, he went to a solitary place and fasted and prayed for 40 days and nights. Now that the time had come, I'm sure that he needed crystal clear direction from God. The Bible says that he actually had sinful flesh, which no doubt needed to be chastened and weakened. Romans 8 verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." Now, I bet you also see Jesus in a state of fasting because he was about to choose his disciples, which is a huge decision. That was perhaps the most important decision he had to make other than the cross, was choosing the people who would be witnesses after his resurrection. He needed men who would be with him so that he could send them out to preach and have power to heal sicknesses and cast out demons. It says in Mark 3, verse 13, "And he went up on the mountain and called to his disciples those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons." And notice how he chose these 12 men. It says in Luke 6, verse 12, "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles." Now, it doesn't say that Jesus fasted while he prayed, and I'm not a guy who adds things in the Bible. But it would be reasonable to assume that while Jesus was praying all night on the mountain about this, that he did not eat anything as well. Again, this is a huge decision. And speaking of the mountain and the wilderness, I noticed that Jesus consistently went to the wilderness and mountain to commune with God. It's not only during those first 40 days that Jesus separated himself from people to pray and fast. It was a habit of his life. Luke 5, verse 15 says, "However, the report went about concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." Mark 1, verse 35 says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Luke 6, verse 12, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Luke 9, verse 28, Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. Luke 9, verse 18. And it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And then last one, Luke 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." You see, Jesus often withdrew into the wilderness or out to the mountain to pray. And many times it was during the night or very early in the morning before daylight while everyone was sleeping. That was his solitary place, his secret place, where he could literally be alone with God the Father and pray. Now again, it doesn't say that Jesus prayed and fasted, but notice the two things that Jesus says to do in your secret place. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll start with verse 5. "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." We'll skip down to verse 16. "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." See, when you pray and when you fast, go to your Father in the secret place. Where's your secret place? Is there a specific room or outdoor spot where you can withdraw yourself from society and be alone with the Father? That's where real communion with God happens. Yes, you can pray when you're with others and you can talk with God while doing your everyday chores and tasks and job. But there's something about being physically and literally away from people, away from stuff, away from noise, away from activity and work, and being still and quiet and alone with the Father. Jesus needed this in his life, so why wouldn't we? And I believe that Jesus fasted in his habit of praying in the secret place. I don't think this 40-day fast was a one-off for Jesus. Notice this subtle yet powerful detail when Jesus casts out a demon in a boy. Matthew 17, verse 14 says, "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' So Jesus said to them, 'Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." Now, there's a few more interesting details in this account in Mark that I want to read just to get the full scope of this encounter, because it's pretty fascinating. Mark 9, verse 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" And one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Man, this is a really awesome passage. Now, understand that the disciples have cast out demons before this. They had to be sent on assignments and had cast out demons and healed diseases. That's why they genuinely were asking, "Why couldn't we cast it out? Like, we knew what to do. Why didn't it work?" And Jesus told them why. "It was because of your unbelief, because you had no faith for it to be done. I'm telling you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to a mountain to move from here to there and it would move for you. Nothing would be impossible if you believe." However, on that note, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. There's something about prayer and fasting that either puts us in a place of faith to do the impossible or in a place of spiritual discernment to know how to address and cast out demons. This kind that Jesus said that comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting is either unbelief or the demons, right? Either way, whatever it may be, there's power in prayer and fasting. Power to do the impossible, power to cast out demons. But the point that I want to emphasize at this time is this, that Jesus was the one who cast out the demon. If Jesus said that the condition for casting out the demon was by prayer and fasting, and he's the one who cast it out, then he met the condition. It's implied that Jesus prayed and fasted. He didn't say, "It's because of your unbelief, however, this is really something that only I could deal with." No, he didn't cast out the demon because he was God with all authority to cast out demons. He said that it could only come out by one who prayed and fasted. Guys, Jesus consistently talked about faith in healings and miracles and doing the impossible, and he consistently cast out demons, made the maimed whole, made the lame walk, made the blind see, made the mute speak, healed the sick, raised the dead. Guys, Jesus consistently withdrew himself and prayed and fasted. Are you seeing the correlation here? Why was Jesus first baptized with the Holy Spirit and fasted and prayed before he did any supernatural works? And remember, it's not just the abstaining from food that's significant. It's abstaining from food and substituting it with prayer. The dynamic combination of prayer and fasting creates powerful results. And to be more specific, I would say that prayer and fasting for a prolonged period in the secret place creates powerful results. It puts you in a place of dogged faith in God as it quiets the mind and body of all carnal anxieties and distractions. It makes you more spiritually attuned and aligned in order to discern how to expel demons. It also makes you more heavenly receptive, proportioning the spirit to hear God more clearly. Notice how prayer and fasting was essential in all of these next passages. You can see how it's necessary for direction in decisions. Ezra chapter 8, verse 15. Now I gathered them by the river that flows in Ahava, and we camped there 3 days. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from Him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. He proclaimed a fast so that he could humble himself to seek from God the right way, right? Verse 22, for I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. And so we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. And in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Here's another one in Acts, Acts 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So fasting is necessary for direction, for decisions. It's commendable for husbands and wives to fast and pray occasionally. Do you know that? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Read up on Esther, Nehemiah, Ezra, Daniel, and Cornelius, and why they prayed and fasted. Esther had a huge decision to make where she was going to risk her life approaching the king without being called upon. Nehemiah needed boldness to approach the king. Daniel fasted because he needed understanding of a vision the Lord had given him. And Cornelius was preparing his heart to seek the Lord. In fact, it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all of his household and gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the 9th hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And so he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now skip down to verse 30, where it says, so Cornelius said to Peter when he arrived, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. You see, Cornelius prepared his heart to seek the Lord. You know what? That's it. Like, that's really what fasting does. This is the key truth of why you should pray and fast. It silences your body and thus prepares your heart to seek the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3, Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, If you return to the Lord with all of your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. It says in 2 Chronicles 12, verse 14, And he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. 2 Chronicles 19, verse 3, Nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. It says in Ezra 8:21, Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says, Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Why should you prepare your heart to seek the Lord? Man, check out all these scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all of your heart and with all your soul. Jeremiah 29:11, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. But verse 12, look at this. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Acts 17, verse 24, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life breath and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. I love that. Hebrews 11, verse 6, But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Who diligently seek him. Proverbs 2, verse 1, My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Ooh, boy, I love that. Yes. If we will seek the Lord with all of our heart and soul, then we will find him. We will experience a communion with God beyond what the average person experiences when we search for Him with all of our heart. God desires for us to find Him, to experience elevated, enviable intimacy with Him. But we have to grope for Him. We have to feel after Him and seek Him with all of our heart. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We must cry out for Him, seek Him as we would silver and hidden treasures, and apply our heart to Him with a driving focus. Then we will understand the fear of the Lord. Then we will find the knowledge of God. Then we will hear from His mouth His knowledge and understanding and wisdom. God doesn't want to remain as a mystery. He's not far off where we cannot see Him. The only reason why most people don't experience Him as He desires is because their own carnality and worldly mindedness is in the way. Searching for God with all of our heart is not diligently looking for a faraway God. And again, He's not far at all. He's near and easy to be found. The diligence of searching and finding Him is practically expressed through consistent, prolonged prayer and fasting. Man, let's join the men and women who were mightily used by God, the men and women who tapped into the impossible, the men and women who followed suit of Jesus and were baptized with the Holy Spirit and endued with power from on high, the men and women who disciplined their bodies through prayer and fasting and positioned themselves to receive atomic power with God. Jesus exemplified this with His life, so let's take His yoke upon us and let's learn from Him. And let's be audacious enough to fast and pray like He did. If you've never fasted before, and this has definitely convicted and challenged you, then start small. For your first time, fast your lunch. For your second time, fast from dinner to dinner. For your third time, fast for a day and a half. Like I said last week, I want to fast 40 days, but I need to progress into it. My next stepping block is simply to fast 4 days. In any case, prepare your heart to seek the Lord. And when you fast, really seek the Lord with all of your heart. Until next time, may the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.